Welcome to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast. This is your host and good friend, Payal. And today I'm talking to you about something that is going to help you to become successful at your work. I want to talk to you about how to achieve mastery in your field. Now, when I think about mastery, I remember there's this story about the famous artist Picasso, where a woman comes up to him and asks him to sketch something on a piece of paper. He sketches it and gives it back to her, saying, "That will cost you $10,000, ma'am." She is so shocked when she hears this that she says, "Oh, you took just 5 minutes to do the sketch. Isn't $10,000 a lot for 5 minutes of work?" To which Picasso responded, "That the sketch may have taken me 5 minutes, ma'am, but the learning took me 30 years. Well, my friend, success in your career is less about natural talent and more about your mastery in your craft. Mastery is your genius point. And to succeed, you've got to reach your genius point. Doing your job is easy part. While many people can complete their routine task, meet company standards, and ensure customers are satisfied, they often fail at mastering their crafts. And so what happens? You become the jack of all trades. So the question is, are you a master in your field? One of your top goals should always be to be a master of your craft, because mastering your craft makes you not only more marketable in the industry that you are in, but better at what you are already doing. Let me share this with you. What I remember here is one of my clients named David, who was a young salesperson. He read every book, listened to every bit of audio, attended every training session, and reached out to every mentor that he could find. He succeeded in his line of work. He was promoted faster than any of his peers and was awarded the best salesperson for 7 consecutive years because the other salespeople he competed against were just simply going on their jobs. And they were just doing their job. So instead of mastering the craft of selling, they fell into the daily routines of their jobs and settled for achieving the targets. Are you one of them? The problem why most of us don't achieve this level of mastery that takes us to our genius point is because our ideas about mastery tend to be externalized. Our training, development, and educational systems have helped us to fill up the container of knowledge and gives us tons of information, but rarely helps us reach our genius point. So with the best of the training we receive at our workplace, 75% of the organization is made up of what I call trained leaders. That's what we all have become. Maximum people today in the organization operate on average because they are content with doing their job well. And those who aim for mastery in their craft, well, for them, nothing matters more than their work. Not fame, not fortune, not glory. Their lives are all about their craft. It's their true love. It's their greatest passion. In fact, I remember in my Ask Payal segment where leaders from across the globe sent me their questions, I received a question from a rising musician. And he asked me how he can be a musician who receives fame, name, and accolades for his work. And the answer to his question, which I replied back, which is still available on my YouTube channel, what I told him was something that's very close to my heart. And I said, "While name, fame, and accolades are agile, work is not. Work is the only constant while you are struggling and while it seems you've made it. You will be remembered for your craft, for your work. Every master was a beginner in their field and worked every day with discipline to achieve great heights in their field. Their brains function differently, my friend, because winning comes naturally to them." As simple as this law of mastery might sound, it's one of the hardest to practice. But there is a powerfully simple way to achieve that mastery. But before we get there, let me just tell you this, that the reason you see few leaders being able to be masters in their field is because they have been optimizing themselves daily. And to optimize yourself, you have to go inside. You see, my friend, so many of us have a broken perspective of both our interior and exterior selves. How many times have you told yourself statements like, "Oh, I am not good at my work. I am an introvert. I am not good at connecting with people. I'm always at fault here. What a failure I am. I am destined to be average. I sound like an idiot when I give suggestions. My ideas will not be appreciated. I'm never going to get ahead in my work." Sounds familiar? Well, as an executive coach, I see it every day with people. And I see this top down. Leaders work with a sense of disappointment that they aren't motivating their teams enough. Individuals at work feel broken when they lose out on promotion. We often underestimate ourselves and overestimate others. In fact, there is something I want to touch upon over here, which is called the blind spots. Part of my job as a parent was to serve as an initial driving instructor for my older teenager daughter at that time. So, as part of the lesson, I demonstrated the reality of blind spots to her. I'd get out of the car to stand along the right side of the car and ask her if she could see me in the mirror. She would say, "Mom, you are invisible, though I can hear you." I would then explain to her how, while driving, there are other vehicles on our right and left whom we can't see because they are in our blind spots, and that poses a significant danger. As a driver, it's super important for you to know where the blind spots are on your own vehicle as well as the other person's vehicle. Knowing this will help you protect you and those around you from an easily avoidable accident. I taught her then how to check her blind spots by simply looking over her shoulder and making sure these spots are clear before changing lanes. Now, the term blind spot is regularly used in leadership. Most people use it to refer to an unrecognized weakness or a threat that can undermine their own growth and success. Many believe that they're great leaders, they are without any blind spots. And in fact, as an executive coach, I can tell you that the higher up you are in the corporate hierarchy, the more your blind spots. This is because you are more likely to overrate yourself and develop blind spots that hinder your effectiveness and lead to the detrimental of your team. Hence, it's important that you recognize your blind spots. Now, what are the blind spots in life and in your leadership style? Well, I define blind spots as a set of behaviors, both self-destructive and self-healing behaviors. A blind spot is something about yourself, both negative and positive, and your actions that you don't see clearly or you are afraid to acknowledge. Everyone, my friend, has blind spots, whether we acknowledge them or not. The problem is that it's easy to see somebody else's blind spot and not your own. And because of this, there are a lot of problems at our workplace. Personal and professional relations get negatively impacted because we see other people's faults, other people's blind spots, not our own. So you cannot optimize yourself as a great leader if you don't pay close attention to your blind spots. In fact, one evening, I was walking out of yoga class and I saw a man at the counter arguing with the receptionist over his class payments. Now, here's the backstory to the argument. That lady at the reception was wrongly had had wrongly billed the client for $550 for one class instead of $55. So when the payment process was complete and the client was walking out of the door checking the bill, when he saw the error and came back to the reception, he got really angry for the error and blamed her for being irresponsible. Now, in response, the receptionist got angry, blaming him for not being careful to check the amount before swiping his card. And this further led to an argument between both of them. So let me ask you here, according to you, whose fault was it? Was the receptionist wrong or was the client wrong? Well, truly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who was right and who was wrong. What matters is how the situation was handled. Both handled it in ways where it led to more anger and blame. This is what happens in our corporate world too. Our inability to manage our emotions at that time leads to responses that are detrimental at our work. So, as a leadership development expert, I work with our corporate clients to build cultures where there is an increase in the number of transformed leaders. I believe this promotes growth, innovation, and strong results. In fact, one of the major challenges that people face in their journey to become a transformed leader is to optimize their emotions. For example, your ability to stay calm and not lose your temper when dealing with an overbearing manager or with tough employees requires you to divert some of your emotions so that you can think strategically. And mastery in your craft requires you to have that control over your emotion. Let me give you a real-life incident again. Two directors from different verticals in a startup organization were working alongside the same project. They each overheard their team members discussing a meeting with the union representative. Now, one director interrupts that discussion, warning them that they might have to say a goodbye to their work if they associate with the union. And the other director realizes she doesn't know much about the unions and the reason why the team felt the need to approach a union. So instead of reacting on the spot, she reviewed the company's website and labor law, learned about the appropriate steps, and does the needful. And this is exactly what we need to do. It's a skill that we need to build, is to make sure that we control the emotions that we have, because the increasingly complex nature of business means that leaders need the skill to work with people from a variety of cultural background. And if we haven't been able to master our emotions, control our emotions, we are not going to be able to have the time to master our craft. You have to make sure that you give yourself time to master your craft, time to work on what you want. Because my friends, if you want people to look up to you in the organization, if you want to differentiate yourself from the others, you cannot do it simply based on your hard work or on just because you have a particular skill set. You have to make sure that you optimize yourself, you attain mastery in your craft every single day. What are you feeding yourself with? What are you hearing? What are you reading? Every single day, are you giving time to master your craft? Mastery of craft, my friends, takes a long time. It takes a very, very long time. It takes discipline. It takes everyday work. You cannot get tired of doing the same work again and again and again. And down the line, you will be recognized for your mastery. You will be recognized for something in your field. And that's what makes you indispensable. Not indispensable at your job or your company, my friend. You become indispensable in the industry. So I encourage you, my friend, today to really think, what one thing would you like to be known for in your industry? Identify ways in which you can master your field. And while you are doing this, check on your blind spots, because more than often our own blind spots inhibits us to focus on a particular craft. It prevents us to move ahead with complete dedication and discipline. So here's something I wish to you. I wish you to be a master in your field of work. I look forward to connecting with you more on LinkedIn and on my other podcasts. And if you have a question, drop it on Ask Payal, which you can get it on my website, or you can send an email to my team, success@payalnanjiani.com. Send in your question and it will be addressed. Wishing you loads of success in your company, in your work, and in getting a mastery in your field. This is Payal Nanjiani, wishing you loads of success, and God bless.